I want to pick back up to where we were 2 weeks ago, looking in 2 Peter chapter 1, the thought of growing as a Christian. Remember, we've been looking at this for the past few weeks, save last week. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting verse 5 says, "But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." We've looked at faith and virtue. This afternoon, I want to look at the subject of knowledge as it is here in verse 5. Now, our word knowledge that we commonly use in English, it means facts or information and skills acquired by a person through experience or education. It's pretty basic, and we have that one term, knowledge, to describe the knowing of a thing. And it's pretty basic. It's not something that it's hard for us to understand. We use this term quite often. In the original Greek that we find in the New Testament, there are several different forms of this word. This word knowledge here in verse 5, in the Greek, it's epignosis. Now, the Greek word gnosis is knowledge. It means exactly what our English word does, and it's used in our words like Gnostic, someone that believes they have special information, or agnostic, someone that doesn't know what they believe. But here, there's a prefix, epi, like we would use in our word epicenter, the point directly over the true center, like you would hear when an earthquake strikes, where the epicenter is. Well, there, this word here is epignosis. It means a precise or a correct knowledge. It's not merely just knowing something or having secondhand knowledge. This is firsthand knowledge, and I know this to be the truth. We can know any number of things, and we can believe them, and they might be false. They might be a lie. I was reading a book recently, and it was talking about a doctor working on an individual several hundred years ago. Just had a heart attack, so the thing to do for a heart attack was that he needed to be bled, and so that's what they did for everything then, right? And so we find that people might have knowledge, and they might have studied greatly, but just because they have knowledge, it doesn't necessarily mean that knowledge is actually correct. This word here in verse 5, it means an exact knowledge, that what we know is known to be the truth, and we know it well. Now, it's kind of interesting when you look at this, looking back at it, verse 5, but also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Now, knowledge here is the third in line in succession. But don't you need knowledge in order to have faith? Because faith is truly believing. Well, I can't believe unless I know first. But even virtue, that moral uprightness, those things that we know to be good, to act upon, I can't know what is morally upright without knowledge. There is already knowledge there before we even get to, you need to add to these things, faith and virtue, you need to add knowledge. That tells me something. First off, that tells me that I don't stop, or I should not stop as a Christian, gaining in knowledge. There is no point in my Christian life that I know enough, that I am wise enough, that I am knowledgeable enough. You see, God is so far above us, and His thoughts, they are not our thoughts. We cannot fully comprehend everything that there is to know about God. and even what he has given us in its entirety, which his word is everything we do need to know, that there is nothing that we need to know as his people that we cannot find in his word. But even this, what he has given us, and this is meant to be understood. Don't get me wrong, what God has presented to us in his word, it's meant to be understood. But it's so deep. It's like no other book that has ever been written. You could read over and over and over, and it's interesting that we have several books that we read Mac at night before he goes to bed. And many of them, Dr. Seuss books, they're the same books that my mom read to Dee and I when we were little. And some of the books that we have are actually Autumn's from when she was a little girl, and her mom used to read them to her. And I know One Fish, Two Fish, you know, that I know that I can read it over, and I can just turn the pages. And I know, you know, One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish. It's something that you get there and you read it and you know it by heart. And there is nothing else to it other than what those words are. And many books that we have are like this. The Bible's not. The more we read it, the more we study it, the more we actually learn. We can memorize a whole chapter of Scripture. We can know every bit of it. We can do a word study on every single word in that chapter. And even after that, after 20 years of studying it, we can still learn new things. In the context of the entirety of the Scriptures, we are enlightened even more. We might learn one thing over here that shines a light better on what we already know, and we gain in knowledge. I hear over and over older preachers, men that have been preaching for 40, 50, 60 years, just amazed at the things that they learn in their own private studies in God's Word. I think if these individuals that have dedicated their entire lives, that their preaching careers are twice as long as I have been alive, if they're still learning, surely I can continue, and we are encouraged in this too. But not only that, we must understand where this knowledge comes from. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, we're told, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." You see, this knowledge, this precise knowledge, it's about spiritual matters. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of this type of knowledge. Now, we can gain all types of knowledge in this world that has nothing to do with spiritual things. It's not wrong. I could go to school for 8 to 10 years of my life and gain a great deal of knowledge in the medical field. I could come out with several different letters behind my name and be qualified to operate on people. That's good knowledge. That's great knowledge. But that's not the most important knowledge that we can find can have, no matter how good it might be. And we should never rely only on that knowledge. And Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting verse 13, "These things we also speak, not in the words which men's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. But the natural man does not receive the things which are of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are not spiritually discerned." You can hear very educated people talking about the knowledge that they gained and the knowledge that's in this world and the knowledge that can be produced from this certain institution or that one or this work or the another. But that's only a very limited knowledge, because no matter what we can learn in this life as people, it's always going to be incomplete. I can go to medical school and I can learn the latest techniques and technologies to treat people who are ill. But they did that 200 years ago as well. People went to medical school and learned that bloodletting was the best thing that you could do, when we know that the exact opposite is the truth. 200 years from now, people would look back on us if the Lord doesn't return by that time. They'll look on us probably the same thing we do look on our ancestors as somewhat barbaric in their practices because despite their good intentions, they were quite ignorant. But they were the most learned, the most educated of their time. But God gives us complete knowledge, exact knowledge. And we can know this. And that's an amazing thing when you think about this. There is nothing inaccurate. There is nothing that will lead us astray. If we look into it, if we truly study it with an open heart, we can know it. We can know this. We can know what God desires for us. But we are also warned. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, and also chapter 16, verse 25, we're told there is a way that seems right unto man, but its end is the way of death. If I ignore what's written in these pages, if I determine that the knowledge that I can gain from here is worthless compared to the knowledge of man, there's only one place that leads. And think about the atheist. No matter how educated the atheist is, where does their knowledge lead? They know exactly where it leads. They believe that there is nothing. It's just death, and that's it. They know their knowledge leads to nothing but death. Consider that. But just because we know where spiritual knowledge comes from, just because we put an importance on spiritual knowledge doesn't mean we always, every time, follow it as God would have us. In John chapter 8, starting in verse 31, Jesus, speaking to the Jews, said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we will be made free?" Now consider who's speaking at this time. These are very educated people. The scribes, the Pharisees, when it talks about a lawyer came and spoke to quiet Christ or questioned Christ. That lawyer, he wasn't studying law as we would think of it now. He was studying the law of Moses. This is a person dedicated to memorizing the law of Moses, to knowing its very intricacies. And they had no idea. They said, "We are Abraham's descendants. We've never been enslaved. How can you say that we will be made free?" In that time, they were under Roman authority. Before that, it was the Greeks. Before that, it was the Persians, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Egyptians. They had been in bondage for the vast majority of their existence. They knew what God's word said. They didn't know what it meant. They had a basic knowledge, like a child has the ability to read. I can read Greek. I can read Greek very poorly, but that doesn't mean I know what those words say. Just like a child learning how to sound out a word, just because he learns how to sound out the word doesn't mean they know what it says. We have the ability, and we've been given this information. If we really desire to, we can know the truth. We can know the truth, and if we do know the truth, if we learn it, we truly will be made free. So I ask you this afternoon, what is it that you know? Do you know the truth of God's word? Do you realize that in knowing God's truth, you must realize that there is a lot more to do. There's a lot more to learn. That knowledge is just flowing from these pages. Are you ready to consume that? Are you ready to study it? Do you desire to? We can know the truth. We can know it. Let's be dedicated to studying the knowledge that God has given us. I offer the invitation this afternoon. If anyone is subject, if you realize that your knowledge has been limited, or that you have put off knowing more of God, knowing more of his things, I would encourage you to turn from that. Learn all you can, because what good is knowledge in this life in anything, because it's temporary. the knowledge that we find in here is eternal and it will lead to eternal life. We encourage you this afternoon, if there is anything we can do for you, if you are subject to the invitation, if we can help you, if we can have prayers for you, if there's anything we can do at all, we'd encourage you to please come as we stand and sing this song of encouragement. There's a